Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. It's the weekend, and that usually brings some change in our lives, doesn't it? I wonder what weekend means for you and how you sense your attitudes change on Saturday morning. When you hear the word crave, what comes into your mind? Sugar or coffee or something you haven't had for a long time, but you crave it so much you can almost taste it? Crave can be dangerous, can't it? How do you control your cravings? Crave moves us from content to caution. Have you noticed that? Something deep down inside us stirs us to caution when we sense a craving taking roots in our hearts. Usually, crave is a battle deep within us. We know we shouldn't. It wouldn't be good for us. But still, crave is drawing us, almost irresistibly, to imagine what it could be like if. Our conscience calls us to caution as crave grows, and that leads to an inner battle, doesn't it? A wise man once wrote about it this way: I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. So I find this: when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. You recognize it as the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 7, verse 18 to 25. It's the good and evil battle that rages everywhere in our world and deep within each of us, isn't it? So how do you fight that battle, my friends? Will you find yourself deep in that fight this weekend? We've been on a journey with Moses trying to lead more than 1 million Hebrews who are a little more than a year out of slavery in Egypt. They've been at Mount Sinai for almost a full year, receiving messages from God through Moses, as God invites them to see themselves as His people, not slaves, and God outlines for them how to live God-centered lives. But yesterday, we saw there was a widespread movement of discontent among the people, and it rose up motivated by crave. The people had grumbled that they were no longer satisfied with God's provision of daily food. They craved what they remembered from Egypt. So God said to Moses, "Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, 'If only we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt.' Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it." Numbers 11:18. What do you hear in that statement from God, my friends? Do you know it's a dangerous thing to allow our cravings to draw us away from God, or God's truth, or God's ways, or God's guidance, or God's presence, or even God's leading in our lives? When that happens, crave turns into rebellion, and that's always dangerous, especially when rebelling against God, isn't it? That's why God used the word consecrate yourselves. It was a challenge for them to look deep within their hearts and minds to understand they were in rebellion against God. And God wanted them to repent of their craving and complaining and turn back to God in anticipation of God's provision for what they asked for, meat. God loved these people and wanted them to find their fulfillment in being His people, trusting Him to provide what He knew they needed. But God was also about to teach them a lesson about the danger of allowing crave to turn their contentment into complaint and rebellion. Look at what God said next. "You will not eat meat for just 1 day, or 2 days, or 5, or 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you rejected the Lord who was among you, and you wailed before Him, saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?'" Numbers 11:19-20. Now, let this sink in for a moment, my friends. Have you ever craved something so much you did whatever you had to do to get it? And when you finally had it, you soon found it to be not nearly as pleasing as you thought. Do you see here God is saying their craving is actually going to turn into being a curse for them? For they'll have so much meat, they'll gag on it, they'll loathe it, but they'll also never forget the price of craving in rebellion against God. Now watch this, my friends. Craving is contagious, and Moses was already so discouraged by the people's tsunami of complaint that when God told him to tell the people they'd eat meat for a month, Moses was skeptical. More than that, he almost mocked God in his doubt. Moses said, "Here I am among 600,000 men, plus women and children, and you say, I will give them meat for a whole month? Oh God, would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? Numbers 11, 21, and 22. Look closely, my friends. Have you ever found yourself so discouraged, so deeply craving something, that you might say something similar to God? God's response to Moses is powerful, challenging, and I urge us all to hear it. Is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you. Numbers 11, 23. What have you doubted about God during your lifetime? His total understanding of everything? That's his promise of omniscience. There is nothing God doesn't fully understand. Have you doubted God's power? Omnipotent means God is all-powerful at all times in all situations. Remember, Gabriel told Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Have you doubted God's love? The cross stands as the greatest symbol of unconditional love for all time. Do you agree? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, John 3:16. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Even though Moses had seen all 10 of the plagues and the Red Sea delivery and water from a rock and food from heaven every morning, and even though Moses had 8 times been up on Mount Sinai having life-changing encounters with God, still, in the overwhelming avalanche of complaint from so many people, even Moses' confidence in God failed. This, my friends, is why it is so important that we each find ways to maintain our faith, our confidence in God, our relationship with God, fresh and vibrant and dynamic every day. Numbers 11, 31 to 33 tells us, God flew in so much quail they did begin to choke on it. But also, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. Therefore, they named the place Kibrot Hataveh, because they buried their people who craved other food. Numbers 11, 34. Now watch this, friends. The name Kibrot Hataveh means graves of craving. Was the plague God sent food poisoning or something similar? I don't know, but what I do know is their craving turned them away from God to complaining about God, and their overindulgence in what they craved killed many of them. Now that, my friends, is an important life lesson for all of us. Watch out for the craving. It's the root of every addiction. And every day, many people die from the effects of their addictions. Let's pause right here, my friends, and I invite you this weekend to search deeply into your life. What are the cravings that have found root in our lives? How do they affect you and me? What damage have we experienced in our lives because we gave into our cravings? How do we live victoriously content with God's provision of what he knows is best for you and me? I urge us to read back through Numbers chapter 11, verse 18 to 23 and 31 to 34 with deep personal reflection. Maybe make some personal notes in your journal that will help you battle against the cravings that want to enslave you. And I found a gentle but powerful song that calls us to battle craving with contentment in Jesus. Oh, let's worship together, my friends.